You're with Greg T. Ross on the Last Post Radio Show podcast series, and welcome to another episode. Today, we're lucky enough to have Miranda Van Hoof, who is Military Family Research Head at Gallipoli Medical Research. Hello, Miranda, and how are you?
Hi, Greg. I'm excellent. Thanks so much for having me on today.
Look, it's a great pleasure, and of course, always dealing with things that affect the veteran community, as I suppose once they affect the veteran community, they affect us all. What is your role at Gallipoli Medical Research background? It's a, let listeners know a bit about Miranda.
No worries. So as you mentioned, I'm the Military Families Research Lead at Gallipoli Medical Research, and I've been on board here since about June last year. I'm also an adjunct associate professor at the University of Adelaide because I'm actually located here in Adelaide, and I'm a Navy spouse. So my partner's been serving in the UK and the Australian Navy for over 40 years. So I've been working in the sort of veteran research sector for about 15 years now, and have completed some of Australia's largest studies looking at the mental and physical health of current and recently transitioned ADF members and their families.
Fantastic.
It's a very exciting place to be.
Look, I can imagine. So, look, there's so much going on in that area anyhow, but I mean, it must give you, being a spouse of a military person, obviously, a serving person, it must give you a great amount of reflection and satisfaction doing that job.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly looking after the military families research and sort of seeing, you know, firsthand from family and friends, the sort of impacts, I guess, of service on the family members themselves. So it's really nice to be able to do something productive to try and help those families.
Yes, that's true too. And of course, we do know, I mean, a lot of people have heard of Gallipoli Medical Research, but if you were to ask them exactly what Gallipoli Medical Research, I suppose part of the answer is in the title, but what do you do and what does Gallipoli Medical Research do for the veteran community?
Yeah, so we've been around for quite a while. We were established in 2005 and are one of Australia's leading independent medical research institute. We're located at Greenslopes Private Hospital in Brisbane in Queensland. So our main focus is on research and activities that support the health and well-being of three primary populations. That's veteran, their family members, and the community. So we do a whole range of quantitative and qualitative research studies, really looking at understanding the unique physical and mental health impacts of military service in order to ultimately support current and ex-serving veterans and their family members. And in addition, our world-class research extends to liver and respiratory research. And as I mentioned, because we're co-located with Australia's largest and best, one of the best private hospitals, means we work with globally distinguished specialists and leading clinical trials with a particular focus on oncology and liver and lung diseases. And these are actually sort of represented in the veteran population. So it's a very important area.
Yes, I can imagine so too, Miranda. And I guess having those, how important is having this quality staff and experts behind you?
So unbelievably important. We certainly are leading the field, in particular in the transition and the family research space to do with veterans and their family members. So it's really great to have some experts in the field working with us on that.
Yeah, true enough. You're leading the field there. And of course, that's one of the things that I guess following on from the, we'll talk about the recent Royal Commission very shortly, but I guess essentially important to the well-being of veterans and mental health too, and of course knowing, and physical health as well, but knowing that there are people out there well qualified to be looking after them, and that, I guess, Miranda, that's part of what sets GMR apart.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I actually really love working here. So I've worked in a number of organisations sort of over the last 15 years for the University of Adelaide and also for another organisation here in South Australia. And one of the things I love about Gallipoli Medical Research is its focus on research translation. That really means sort of going beyond merely identifying what the problem is that veterans and families are experiencing and instead focusing on what we can do with the knowledge that we've obtained. So this like really enables us to deliver sort of meaningful and tangible real world solutions for the end user rather than just creating knowledge for knowledge's sake, which of course is entirely useful as well. So a great example of this actually is, and this is before my time, but the researchers at Gallipoli Medical Research developed the MCAR, which is a measure to assess adjustment and reintegration into civilian life. So this is done in partnership with RSL Queensland. And basically, they started the process by undertaking research to identify what the key challenges were that were facing this community in the early stages of transition. And then once they had that knowledge, they then went on to develop a questionnaire to assess it. That's the MCALM. And then finally worked with the veteran community to co-design and create some online modules and resources to support them to better understand and potentially resolve some of the challenges. It really is looking at sort of research right from identifying the problem to providing a solution and then involving the veterans and their family members in that process the whole way in a co-design way, which is really powerful.
Yeah, look, that's certainly better than, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of work going on, I suppose, in this area. But rather than an ad hoc attitude, I guess, perhaps identifying the problem on these matters too is so important. And GMR seem to be doing a good job of that. I guess integration and transition obviously is a major point in health matters too for veterans too. But if we lead, I suppose, Miranda, onto the recommendations to come out of the recent Royal Commission, what were the ones that were relevant? I mean, most of them were, but the most important ones, and how are you dealing with that?
From our perspective, and based, I guess, on my experience working at Gallipoli and prior to the University of Adelaide, the recommendations around families and transition are some of the most important to me. So the recommendation 103 and 121 around families is really around providing support communication for defence families and enabling more research into these families. In Australia, there's a little bit done sort of overseas, not a lot done in the Australian context. So getting more research done on the impacts and impacts on families and how families can support the veteran is incredibly important. The transition stuff, also really important, where the recommendation 80 was looking at the Department of Veterans Affairs to take responsibility for supporting members to transition out of the ADF. At the moment, there's a little bit of a disconnection between defence and DVA in relation to transition. There's a lot of people that are still falling through the cracks. So I think the fact that they've added that recommendation is really important to ensure some continuity and stability for veterans as they're transitioning into civilian life. The research translation one's another really important one. Obviously, that's they're wanting to establish a research translation centre for defence and veteran healthcare. Obviously, that's something that we specialise in, but as I mentioned, there's not a lot of organisations that do that. So really focusing on, using the knowledge that we obtain from the research and doing something that's going to actually benefit the end user, which is the veterans and their families, is important. But
Yes.
probably one of the ones that I feel really strongly about is the one around data. So this is recommendation 107. It's about establishing a national veterans data asset to further understand suicide and suicidality and health and wellbeing among serving and ex-serving members and their families. So I've been involved in a number of studies now since 2010. Where we've collected a lot of data on the mental, physical, and social health of current and ex-serving ADF members. And as with any research contract, you only ever really skim the surface of a lot of those data sets. So there's so much data sitting around that we really need to start to utilize. And I think this recommendation, if we can establish as a national veterans data asset where we can start to bring some of that data together. And utilize it to its full potential will prevent, it will prevent veterans from having to complete multiple different surveys because we can use the data that we already have, and it's really maximizing the use of that data. So it's incredibly important.
Yeah, so true, Miranda. The last Post Radio Show podcast series talking to Miranda Van Hoof, Military Family Research Lead at Gallipoli Medical Research. And look, I suppose too, Miranda, I attended the Adelaide when the Royal Commission was in Adelaide, and saw some of the effects. You talked about the previous disconnection with the DVA and members of the veteran community, and of course that's why I guess recommendations 103, 121, and particularly 107 become so important. But I mean, you've been doing studies since 2010. You must have a pretty clear understanding or look into the veteran community.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of the stuff that we did in my sort of previous life at the University of Adelaide was look at the prevalence of mental health conditions and also the predictors of some of those mental health conditions. So that was really incredibly important in relation to early intervention and prevention. If we know what leads to, I guess, the development of these symptoms, then we can look at how we can prevent them in the long term. More recently, I've done a lot of work looking at family members. Supervised quite a few students who are looking in this particular space. So I do have a bit of a rounded understanding of the community, I think.
Yes, indeed. It's just it. I mean, there's so much there to unpack, and attendance at the Royal Commission gives you insight into that fact too, I guess. But What are the benefits, Miranda, of research to the veteran community?
Yeah, I think this is a really important one because I think a lot of people don't understand, really what research does to support the health and well-being of service members. So if you're looking at a government level, at a government level, I guess research equips policymakers, with the data that they need to design and implement effective services and supports for veterans and their families. So without this data that we collect through research, we wouldn't be able to tailor programs that are aligned to the actual needs of the veteran community, as well as ensuring, I guess, that the funding from these government agencies is allocated where it's needed most. A significant portion of veteran research, you probably know this anyway from your radio show, focuses on mental and physical health and transition actually to civilian life. So this obviously leads to better screening, better prevention, and better treatment options. So if we know what the risk factors are and the early warning signs, then we can start to intervene early and prevent poor long-term outcomes. In the transition space, like research has helped us understand what some of the barriers and some of the enablers are for a successful transition from military to civilian life, which enables programs like Go Beyond and RSL's Be Well programs to provide targeted resources to support veterans and their families. And I guess one of the things I think is most important about research is its ability to monitor and evaluate programs that are provided, say, treatment programs and support programs and resources provided by organizations such as Department of Veterans Affairs and the ex-service organisation and the veteran support community in order to determine what services work, which ones don't, where the gaps are, where the opportunities are, and also to make sure that the programs and services can be adapted and remain responsive to the changing needs and the demographics of veterans. So we know, for instance, a lot of the veterans that are transitioning out of the military now are quite young. A lot of them have been to the sort of deployed to the MEO and things like that. Well, that's a very different population to the population that was transitioning sort of 30 to 40 years ago. So we need to be able
Indeed.
to ensure that the research keeps up with these sort of changing demographics in our service members and make sure that it's still relevant. From a lived experience perspective, and particularly with qualitative research, it allows veterans' voices to be heard. And this is really important to create a greater understanding of the strengths and the challenges of service life. And it also provides, I guess, a platform to advocate for change based on what the veteran community are telling us what they want and need. To be honest, if we didn't have research and we didn't have this way of veterans communicating their wants and needs, then it would be very difficult to design programs and services to meet those actual needs. Research is incredibly important, and we're very unbelievably, incredibly grateful to every veteran and their family member who participates in our research because, we know that it can be arduous. Some of the surveys I've done in the past have been sort of an hour to an hour and a half long. The ones we're doing now at Gallipoli are only about 20 minutes, but it's still a significant impasse on their time. So, we really are so grateful and it enables us to do what we can do. So.
Yeah, it's an incredible job you do, Miranda. I mean, with as you say, for the programs and research to be focused in the correct areas, then this is needed. And I guess also to so ESOs and governments and organisations can direct their funds and efforts in the right area. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
What's a normal day for you involved, Miranda? What
It changes from day to day, actually. So there's a lot of stakeholder engagement, which is really exciting. And that's anything from working with DVA to working with the RSL to working to other with other stakeholders, community members, veteran support organisations, getting an understanding of what the real issues are. All of the research that we do, we do a sort of community engagement process where we engage the community just to make sure that we're on the right track and that we know what we're doing. And then obviously there's the actual research part of it, which a lot of it is ethics, which is the extremely boring part of it. But that's incredibly important to make sure that everything that we do looks after the participants, but also looks after us as researchers. And then it's really about the data collection and recruitment. And we're recruiting for a number of studies at the moment in sort of the family research space in particular, which is pretty exciting. So we've got one study, which is actually Australia's first study to understand the strengths and needs of families that are transitioning from military to civilian life. So this hasn't really been done before. And it's a short survey with family members across four generations, which is like the veterans themselves, their parents, their partners, and also their adolescent children. Children are something that's sort of quite often left out of research. So this is quite an exciting project to look at those intergenerational impacts of transition on those four groups of family members. As a part of that study, we're also doing workshops with veterans, family members, and professionals with the aim to design practical resources that can be used by families during the military to civilian transition. And this is using a really cool methodology, or it's like a game. It's like, kind of like an online game, which we use. And it just
Right.
enables us to sort of build a bit of a rapport and do the research in a slightly different way. And that's made possible by our collaboration with the translation unit of our centre. So that's really bringing together the research with the implementation, which is quite exciting. We're also conducting a study to better understand the health and wellbeing spillover effects of providing care to an injured or ill veteran on the veteran family members themselves. So once again, this is something that's not often done. And it's really aiming to look at, for the people who are a caregiver to a veteran, and by caregiver, we're meaning someone that assists the veteran in their sort of daily activities to organise themselves, taking them to appointments and things like that. What are the sort of spillover effects of looking after that veteran on their own health and wellbeing and on the family unit as a whole? And once again, we're looking at the caregivers there and also their adolescent children of the unwell veterans to understand the cost and the health and wellbeing impacts. And this sort of thing is really important if you're looking at, assessing interventions. So, there's a lot of spillover effects of providing an intervention to a veteran on the entire family. So, for example, if it's a PTSD intervention and you're able to reduce the veteran's PTSD levels, their symptom levels, as well as providing them with greater social functioning, then that has a positive spillover effect on the family members themselves. So, this study is looking at both those positive and negative spillover effects of being in a caregiving role. We're also looking at health literacy, which is another really important thing. We know from the literature that there is often a lack of understanding on how to find the appropriate health information, how to manage your own health, and how to interact with healthcare workers. So this study is really aiming to look at how we can improve that through education and training tools in order to support the veterans and their families. And then finally, we're also looking at surveying veterans at the moment who are taking two or more medications to treat a chronic health condition
Right.
in an attempt to understand veteran knowledge about safe use of medications and how education can be improved. So I'm not, I'm sure all the listeners will know this, but you've got to be incredibly careful about, when you're taking more than one medication, that there's not some sort of contraindication between those two different medication types. So this is really about gaining an understanding of what the veterans know about the medications that they're taking, and how we can support them in enhancing their knowledge to allow them to use those medications safely moving forward.
Yes, well, I guess too, correct way to go about things, obviously, for the health of veterans. And I think too, Miranda, obviously, as we progress as a society, and we see that obviously it's the veterans, but it's the families and the children that are affected as well. And so, therefore, studies need to be directed in those areas too. So, job well done there. I was just thinking, how can veterans, I mean, if they want to get involved in this, how in the research studies, Miranda, we're speaking with Miranda Van Hoof, who's a military family research leader at Gallipoli Medical Research. How would you recommend that they get involved?
Oh, it's quite easy. So you can register for either the survey or an online workshop by going to www.gallipoliresearch.com.au/research/veteran, and that will give you the eligibility and links for all of the studies that I've just spoken to about today. Alternatively, you can call the GMR's friendly reception team on 07 3394 7284, and let them know that you're interested in re some research, and they can point you in the right direction.
Fantastic stuff. So, if you want to register for the survey or online research, go to Gallipoli Medical Research website, or you can give them a call on 07, and correct me if I'm wrong with this number, Miranda,
Yeah.
073394 7284.
Yep, that's right.
Fantastic stuff. Now, finally, Miranda, we all like to hear learned and experienced and intelligent advice, but what would your, let's say, top three, we'll just pick out top three, say, what would the top of three things that you advised for veterans and family members?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, it's really hard, obviously, to narrow it down to the top three, but probably my first one would be when a veteran serves, the whole family serves. Therefore, it's really important that the family has access to and knowledge of the support services that are available to the veteran themselves, but also to themselves. So, for a veteran, this means, I guess, allowing the family in, listening to and trusting your family members when they're telling you that something's not quite right, because families are an amazing barometer for change, let's face it. I mean, whenever I'm in a slightly unhappy mood, my children's behavior just goes through the roof. So, families can be a really great barometer like that to let you know that something's not quite right.
Yes,
And
yes.
also the importance of communicating with their family members to give them information that they need to support the entire family unit. Probably secondly would be, in relation to mental health and well-being, and this is something that we saw in the research that we did in the Military Health Outcomes Program of Research and the Transition and Wellbeing Research Program. So they're the ones that I did at the University of Adelaide. Is that early intervention is the absolute key in preventing long-term distress and impairment. And I can't express this enough. As soon as the veteran or the family member, in fact, starts to experience symptoms that are having a negative effect on their day-to-day activities or their functioning, they need to seek help early and don't wait. Because the longer you wait, the harder it is to shift these symptoms and patterns of behavior. And the other thing is, if you're the first person that you seek help from, like a doctor or psychologist or counselor or something like that, doesn't do the trick, then try again and again until you find a clinician that you do connect with. So you would see all the time on social media people saying that they reached out for help, but the person that they went to didn't help them or didn't understand their symptoms, particularly if they're going out in the civilian community. Sometimes the
Yes.
cultural competence can be a bit of an issue where the person doesn't understand service culture. My biggest piece of advice is that mental health professionals are just people. They're all different. And yes, they all know how to deliver the most appropriate evidence-based treatment, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be the perfect person to treat you. So you've got to keep looking and don't give up, because the earlier you get those symptoms looked at, then the better you'll be in the long term. And then I guess as a plug for research, where possible, please participate in research. So the only way we as researchers can effectively develop the knowledge and programs to support your needs is if you tell us what these needs are. Otherwise, we're largely flying blind. And we can look at the other research, the international research, and make some assumptions about that. But there are sort of a lot of cultural differences between internationally military populations and Australian military populations. And if we don't do the research here in our own home country, then it's quite possible that we won't get it right. So it's really important that veterans and their families do participate if they can.
Yeah, so well said, Miranda. I guess early intervention is essential. And of course, this is one particular theme that keeps reoccurring in my discussions with those involved in similar things as you are there too. Early intervention essential. And I guess also try again and again until you find a clinician that you can connect with. That again is so such an important piece of advice because you don't. I mean, don't go looking for any differences that'll upset you or anything, but you don't have to use a clinician the first one you come across.
Well, absolutely. Well, we don't like everyone, right? And not everyone likes us. So it's inevitable that we might go and try and find a clinician and we think that they're going to, solve all of our issues. But if there's a personality clash or a disconnect or, they're not quite speaking the same language as you, then they're not going to be able to get in. So you need to keep persisting and find someone that's able to do that. And unfortunately, I think that's where people get put off, because they put off getting treatment for such a long time. And then they finally make the decision, whether it's because the family's convinced them into it, or friends have told them they need to seek help, and they may not even be 100% convinced themselves. And then they go, and it's not a good experience for them. And then they never do it again.
They
And it's
withdraw.
just, yeah, absolutely. And it happens all the time, and it's just terrible. But there are people out there. If you just keep trying, there are people out there who you will be able to connect with, and who can support you with
Yeah.
things. And the early intervention thing's, incredibly important. One of the things people say to me is, well, how do you know, when you should be seeking help, And what I always say to them, if this, I mean, a lot of people have symptoms, right? So you can have a traumatic event. Of course, you're going to have some symptoms following that because it's a traumatic event and something outside the realm of normal experience. But if these symptoms persist for an extended period of time, let's say 6 months, and they start to impact on your daily life and your ability to function, that means that something's not right. And that means that you need to do something about it. And so, we always encourage people to look at changes in symptoms. So what so some people might have certain symptoms and that's just their norm and that's okay for them, but if they notice a change in the symptoms where they're getting worse, that's also a trigger point for going to seek help.
Yeah, that's so true. And everyone's different. And what may be normal is not normal in everyone. So only you will know if the behavior is, well, not only you, but it's a good starting point. You know, and I guess then obviously the research then helps in treatment of that. And please participate in research veterans listening, because to be heard is to enact change for the good. And if you want to register for a survey or online research, go to the Gallipoli Medical Research website, or give them a ring on 0733947284. Today we've had the great delight in speaking with Miranda Van Hoof, who's Military Family Research Lead at the Gallipoli Medical Research, and of course, working with Uni of Adelaide and Greenslopes Private Hospital. What a great job you've got.
Thank you. I do enjoy it very much.
Yeah, challenging, but obviously serving a great purpose for the veteran community. And we thank you, and we thank Gallipoli Medical Research too. Miranda, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to Greg T. Ross and the Last Post Radio Show.